Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The high priests of Chicago politics are preparing the oils of anointing. They've already prepared them. And they speak the holy words. Susana Mendoza, prepare for unction. The high priests want you to be mayor of Chicago. And that Florida recount and Johnny Rocco, you know Johnny. Johnny's wise in the ways of the Chicago way. Yeah, see? He knows how to count votes, see? And that's how they're doing it in Florida. They count votes again and again until they get them right. And then there's Hillary. Does anyone ever think of Hillary Clinton anymore? Come on, people. Show a little love. Everything in the papers these days is Michelle this, Michelle that, Michelle Obama, Michelle Obama, Michelle, Michelle, Michelle. The love for Michelle is unbelievable. Oprah loves her, rolling out the book, maybe a presidential campaign. The love is astounding, but what about Hillary? She's alone in the afternoon, reaching for that box Chardonnay in the fridge, thinking dark thoughts, bitter thoughts. Poor Hillary. Jeff Carlin is at the studio, WGN. He's the producer of WGN's Rokon Show with Anna DeVellantis, and my friend and co-host here. And me? Well, you know me. I'm John Cass, husband, father, owner of Zeus, soccer lover, decoder of political religious expressions. And you know where you are. You're on that boulevard of broken dreams that taxpayers end up on. You're on the Chicago way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun, he sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
There's something about the Chicago way you should understand. The establishment is run by the high priests of politics. They don't wear mitered hats or, you know, golden robes and crosses around their neck. But they are still high priests, and they speak the sacred political language, and they create the oils of anointing when they want to anoint someone. And they've anointed Illinois Comptroller Susana Mendoza for mayor. I can even almost hear them now chanting the way they do as they prepare those oils.
Die Jesu Domine, dona eis requiem. Die Jesu Domine, dona eis requiem. Die Jesu Domine.
Yeah, there's nothing like high priest of politics. Of course, you know, the two bishops right now are Rahm Emanuel, mayor of Chicago, with his $10 million and all his, in his political campaign, and all his high finance friends ready to find a replacement for Rahm, but where they can keep their foothold in it, foothold at City Hall, because, you know, City Hall is an economic engine, not for taxpayers, but for them. And, of course, Boss Madigan, House Speaker Michael Madigan, Susana Mendoza's patron. She's been his for a long time now. She started out making her way in Chicago politics alone, a young woman, very smart, tough, ambitious. And she made her way when Ray Frias was the alderman out there in the Madigan-dominated Southwest Side. And later she became a state rep, and she supported Madigan. I know they're going to come out and say, oh, she's independent, but come on, man. I've been doing this too long. And then when she became clerk, you know, she was tight with Rahm, too. And I know they're going to say, no, she wasn't, and she fought him, and she's independent and all that. Come on, man. The oils of anointing don't work on me. And it's not because I'm not a true believer. I am. But I know too much about the Chicago way. And the question for Susana Mendoza and all my colleagues now that she announced for mayor, then Bill Ruthart of Chicago Tribune, a great reporter that he is, broke that story. But the question now, she's going to sit down in 5-minute segments with TV people. And she'll talk about herself and her soccer video and so forth, and how she loves the city, and she does, and she's feisty, and she is. She even chased down John Quarters Boyle. I think you might remember that. I wrote about it, and there was that video. John Quarters Boyle looked like he was having trouble negotiating the road when he was driving, and she chased him down. Called the cops, fought him, then found out later, oh, yeah, that's John Quarters Boyle of Coalition for Better Government, a political Democratic coalition guy. And still she went to the court, and she went to court to show that she was there and to push the state's attorneys for greater charges. And all that's true. But I want to know if they're going to ask her in those 5 minutes you get to talk to Susana Mendoza, will they ask her about Mike Madigan, Boss Madigan? Will they ask her about Rahm Emanuel? Will they say, weren't you supporting Rahm over Chuy Garcia in 2015? And didn't you support Madigan for speaker? And didn't you work in his sphere? And hasn't Madigan's guys, his precinct captains, in those pork pie hats and the Kelly Green jackets, haven't they been circulating petitions for you to run for mayor? No? Yes? I'd like to hear the questions at least asked, put her on the spot, because that's what you do when you're a reporter. You put people on the spot, and yeah, they don't like it, and they might think you're mean, but all of you need to know, because she's young, and I've said she's going to be mayor someday. I like her, but I like her personality, but you know what? Is she qualified to be mayor now? I was hoping that after Emanuel left and Boss Madigan went to his castle in Ireland, if he has one, some great gigantic castle with peasants from Illinois imported so they could dig mud in the fields. I was hoping that she would run then, after they were gone. But she can't. She had to go now, because now they're there. And Ron's people are there to help her and raise money for her. And Mike Madigan's brain is throbbing. You can almost see it throbbing through his skin. And that's a question for everybody. Because is that a real break from the past? Or is that just a is Susana Mendoza just a continuation of the present? She'll have to make that argument. I'll be making that argument. Other candidates will be making the argument, either pro or con. But you have to know, because that's the future of Chicago you're looking at, one way or another. And is it fair to talk about Boss Madigan and Rahm in the context of Susana Mendoza? She won't think so. I understand that. I respect her for that. But I think so. Because it's your money. And it's my money. And it's their power. And that's how it works. On the Chicago Way with Susana Mendoza and the high priests of politics. Said I was a priest. I am a priest. They said I was least. I am a priest. They said I was incomplete. Down in Florida, they're counting votes. You know how they count. They count votes, and they count votes, and they count votes. And while you're counting, you might as well watch a good movie. I mean, you can't all count, so somebody down there should be watching a movie. Maybe a supervisor. his feet up, a guy with a short sleeve shirt and a, you know, those notches in the sleeves, maybe one of those pocket protectors with 15 pens in his pocket, sitting there smoking a cigarette, his feet up, a fan, you know, one of those fans with like flypaper around or little paper to show you that the fan is working, fluttering a little bit. And there on the black and white TV is an old movie. And in it, there's a guy who really knows how to count votes. It's Key Largo with Humphrey Bogart and the lovely Lauren Bacall. I don't know, that was kind of creepy. He's like 50 years old and she's 19. They fell in love in real life, were married. And the third actor's in there. He plays a gangster based on a guy named Al in Chicago, but in the movie, he's Johnny Rocco, political genius.
I take a nobody, see? Teach him what to say. Get his name in the papers. Now, paper his campaign expenses. Fish out a lot of groceries and coal. Get my boys to bring the voters out. And then count the votes over and over again until they added up right and he was elected.
Yeah, Johnny Rocco. Johnny Rocco knew politics. You count them again and again and again. And that's how you win. You find votes in schoolrooms, bushels in dumpsters. I found this in a truck. Yeah, look, these are votes. We should count them. Count all the votes. Again and again. The Republican candidate for Senate, Governor Rick Scott, had the votes to declare victory on Tuesday night. Republican Ron DeSantis, candidate for governor, had the votes to declare victory on Tuesday night. But you know what happened Wednesday, right? You've been following the news. Wednesday came and thousands of votes poured in. Oh, a teacher said, oh, I found these votes in my classroom, a box. Oh, we have other votes here in the warehouse. Oh, look. Look what we found. It's all very Chicago. But this is Broward County. Broward County, Florida. I wonder, you know, how many people from Chicago moved there because they certainly know how to do it. Anyway, Brenda Snipes is the Broward County election supervisor, and she has a sodden history. That's what I wrote. A sodden history of incompetence. Like, I guess, like a soggy piece of bread. And repeated violations of election law. Governor Jeb Bush, remember him running for president? The candidate of tapioca jello? Yeah, he was running. And before he ran for president, when he was governor, he made her the election supervisor. And then she was elected again and again by Democrats. Rick Scott, who was the governor of Florida, knew that she screwed up again and again and again, but he kept her on. He could have removed her, had a new election called there, but no, he didn't, because he didn't want to get, you know, he didn't want to be accused of racism. Miss Snipes is African American. And there's some people who are saying that if you criticize her, you're racist. Listen to Joy Reid, MSNBC, the habitual liar and lefty cheerleader. And yes, she makes Jim Acosta of CNN sound like a reasonable man. She said, here's the way they're treating Brenda Snipes, who was a longtime supervisor there, and who, by the way, is an older black woman in the deep South, she said. Oh, I get it. I get it, Joy. I get it. I get it. I get it. Black woman, deep South, questioner, you're a racist. You must be Bull Connor. But here's the thing. Broward County isn't exactly like that. It's pretty diverse. A lot of Democrats there, too. Here's what Snipes had to say. Quote, it's sort of hard to rule out race, but I won't say, oh, I'm a black woman, and that's why. I'm not saying that, Snipes said. Oh, you're not saying that? Well, you know what? Because you're not saying that? Because it sounds like you're saying that exactly, Brenda. Race card is overused. There is race and racism in our country. I don't think we'll ever get rid of it. By stupid people. Stupid, hateful people on all sides. They play the race card. They think in terms of skin pigment. It's pathetic. But you know, it doesn't apply to every situation. And sometimes it's just incompetence and stupidity. when you find votes, when you're the only county in Florida, there's only two of 67 that couldn't produce their votes on time. It couldn't report the votes that they had outstanding on time. There's procedures for this, so you can keep a chain of evidence. Not Broward County. Oh, no, just throw them in a pot. Maybe your brother-in-law, Victor, will find them. Scott kept her on. He didn't get rid of her. He's got to be blamed for this, too. But so do the Democrats, and so do those playing the race card. It's too easy. Too damn easy to... You know, we're going to see this in Chicago. And criticize someone who's black or white or Latino, and somebody of that tribe is going to accuse you of being a whitest or a racist or a, I don't know what, anti-Latino. But it's really only politics. And you know who understood politics? The guy who understood the Chicago way. Johnny Rocco. See?
Well, he knows what he wants, don't you, Rocco?
Sure. What's that?
Tell him, Rocco.
Well, I want,
he wants more, don't you, Rocco?
Yeah, that's it. More. That's right, I want more.
Will you ever get enough? Will you, Rocco?
Well, I never have. No, I guess I won't. You, do you know what you want?
Yes, and I had hopes once, but I gave them up.
Hopes for what?
A world in which there's no place for Johnny Rocco.
I have nothing against Michelle Obama. It's really one of the toughest jobs in the world, I think, to be First Lady of the United States. And while she was beloved by the media, she was hated by some people, and they found fault with her. I mean, I don't think she was hated as much as Melania Trump is hated, at least by the media. They just hate her. They ignore her. They just disrespect her and mock her, mock her accent. It's really ugly. But for Michelle, Orwell talked about the 2 minutes of hate. Well, we have like never-ending, I don't know, 24/7 love for Michelle, at least here in Chicago. If you look at the papers, you can't not see a Michelle Obama story. I mean, it started with people writing about how excited they were if they were going to go. If I wrote that I was excited about going to see Mrs. Rand Paul at an event with Ben Shapiro, would people think I was crazy? Probably. But anyway, everyone's crazy about it, and I wanted to go too, but you know, I just couldn't bring myself to go. I mean, so many people are writing about it. And look, I don't need to, you know, jump on the bandwagon. She broke down sobbing after the 2016 inauguration, she told Oprah Winfrey the other night. I didn't write about this in the book because I had forgotten it, she said. When I got on the plane, I think I sobbed for 30 minutes, and I think it was just the release of 8 years of trying to do everything perfectly. I said to Barack, that was so hard. What we just did was so hard. And I just wanted to say that for those 8 years, I saw sameness. And that was the first time it struck me this is going to be different. And then she listened to Trump's speech, and I said, this is going to be really different. She also said she joked about getting on the presidential plane after the inauguration, turning out around and mouthing, bye, Felicia. But she didn't, and that got a big laugh. And there were so many other, you know, important things, like going to marriage counseling and reconnecting with Barack and all sorts of all that. And I'll let other people do that. I've just got a question. Is Michelle Obama running for president or what? I'm not the first person to think that. I mentioned it the other day in a column, and but I think almost 2 years ago, Tom Beff of Real Clear Politics was on the podcast, and he said, mark my words, she's running for president. And I said, oh, no. But I mean, I don't know how else to take this. How else to take this this rollout? I mean, there'll be movies about it. Netflix, well, she's part of Netflix now, right? They have a Netflix deal. There'll be movies about it. There'll be, you know, in the wilderness, and she's coming back. And it's interesting, isn't it, that this rollout comes a few days ago, before the rollout, before the Michelle Obama rollout, there were those stories in the Wall Street Journal where Hillary Clinton's top aides are saying she might run again. Oh, yeah, she'll run again. She'll run. She'll be a centrist. And then it got me. All this love for Michelle, all this love. I mean, I was talking to an editor. I said, how many stories on Michelle are we going to have in our paper? And at the Sun-Times, too. I mean, it's just insane, you know? And I know she's popular and she's from Chicago, and so there should be stories about her. But, I mean, come on, man. Just chill a little bit. Aren't we building the temple of love for them already? I don't know why. We're building, taxpayers are spending, they said, $177 million in taxpayer money to fix the roads for the Obama Sontra, the big, gigantic thing they're going to build in the South Lakefront. But you know what? That's just the beginning of what it's going to cost. And Rahm wanted it. Oh, Rahm wanted that built so badly. I don't know now. Are they going to still build it? Do we still need it? Do we really need a temple of adoration and love for the Obamas where you can buy, you know, Obama bobbleheads and Obama, Chia Pets, probably, I hope. I would think the serious Obama. Serious Obama grows better chia. But then, on top of all that, now I think she's running for president. I do. I have a gut feeling. Maybe it's because of what Bevin told me. I mentioned it the other day in a column. I don't think she wanted to walk away. I think there's a part of her that thought, maybe I could do this. And it looks like, man, with the rollout and all the love, I mean, just the adoration. And part of that is that so many people in blue cities like Chicago just can't stand Trump. I get that. And so they're gravitating to her and, Be my mom, be our mom, Michelle. And she's attractive, and she has beautiful daughters, and her husband sings Al Green, I get it, and the left was happy, I get it. But I want you to think about something. Think about Hillary for a change, will you? Instead of thinking about yourselves all the time. What about Hillary? Hillary Clinton, she had to put up with all that crap from Bill all those years. She had to run that bimbo eruption squad and trash people. And remember that one time she had to go on national television when he was caught in some scan or another. And she, you know, blamed it on that right vast right-wing conspiracy and said there were turtles on fence posts. I'll never forget this. And I can't believe that people don't know this one or they don't use it in bits or on TV.
You know, if you find a turtle on a fence post, it didn't get there by accident. And I just look at the landscape around here and I see just lots of big old turtles sitting on lots of fence posts. And I think we need to find out how those old turtles got on those fence posts.
Now you're probably saying, why are you even talking about Hillary? Michelle's the story. Why? Leave Hillary alone. She's yesterday news. Walk away. But I have compassion, man. I got compassion. I've got a heart. And I'm thinking of Hillary now watching all this Obama, Michelle love with Oprah and all this on TV. And Hillary reaching for that box Chardonnay in the kitchen. She's alone in the afternoon and grabs that Chardonnay, pours herself a glass, maybe a big glass, starts sipping it. Sun's going down. The sky's thin. The sun is yellow in that fallen sky, and there's Hillary alone. Bill's not around. And Hillary, kind of like the, like the Jake LaMotta of politics. You know, she had everything. And now she's at the end of her career, and people don't want her, and Michelle's getting love from Oprah, and everyone's loving Michelle, and here's poor Hillary. She put up with all that. She had to fight all that, you know, fight and fight. No one gave her a chance. People dissed her. Even that John Cass, that jerk at the Chicago Tribune, dissed her, mocked her as Queen Cersei from Game of Thrones. And she's thinking, kind of reminds me of like Jake LaMotta. Not that she could punch anybody, but Jake LaMotta at the end of Raging Bull, looking at himself in the mirror, having his highball like she's having her Chardonnay, and saying to himself and shouting it in the dressing room alone, "I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss. Because you're the boss, Hillary. I don't care what they say." And with all this Michelle Obama love, it's kind of, I mean, we're all going to be diabetic pretty soon if we keep eating all that sugary love for Michelle. Think of it, Hillary. You're the boss. Just think. You're the boss.
Go get him, champ. I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss, I'm the boss.
There's a path you take and a path not taken. The choice is up to you, my friend. Nights are long, but you might awaken to a brand new life. Brand new life, a brand new life around
me. Oh, that's been fun. That was fun. I enjoyed it. Now I've got to do my paying job, write about Zeus. Yeah, Zeus, and a dog that went on the Rainbow Bridge. Not Zeus, but another dog. You'll have to read all about it in the paper. You can write about it and write to me about it and ask me questions. Zeus is okay. He got lost in the. Actually, right before I did this podcast, somebody came to my door and rang the door and said, "Is Zeus your dog?" And I'm like, "Where's Zeus? What?" And he had run about 5 blocks away. He was on a busy street. She found him. She brought him home. Very nice woman. Maureen Hill. Thanks, Maureen. And Susanna Mendoza with the oils of anointing. And Johnny Rocco counting those votes. And Hillary and Jake LaMotta. And there's Michelle getting all that love. Maybe you should run for president, Michelle. Be our mom. Be the America's mom that we need. Because we need a mom. We need to be hugged and loved. For Jeff Carlin of WGN AM, Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantis. He's the executive producer, you know. And the co-host here. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist of the Chicago Tribune. Oh, yeah, nationally syndicated. Zeus owner. I'm not really his owner. I'm more like his friend. Thanks for visiting with us. Hope you come back again, because the Chicago Way is open for you. Always.